I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to The Future is Female, the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I'm here on location at Nazira's Cafe at the UAB building in Penang. We're here for the Georgetown Literary Festival. And joining me on the show today, I have Tewin Aji, who is a Bruneian media personality who's gained popularity with her video blog Winnie on Wednesdays, where she tackles social issues with humor and sass. Welcome to the show, Tewin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here. And I really kind of wanted to get a sense from you about this video blog, because this is really where it kind of launched your career, essentially. Yeah. So what did you kind of hope to achieve when you started the blog? I mean, did you expect it to take off the way it did?
Honestly, no. I think like it had come out of me being in a season where I had come out of some trauma, and I'd been hiding for a while, and I'd been in a comfort zone, and I think there was something happening with the dude, and I was like, you know what, I need to prove something here to myself. Right. And so I just decided to do that. I just started doing very, very short videos, just little clips on Instagram first, because back then it was only like 15 seconds. Mm. So I started with that, and it was, yeah, really just to get out of my comfort zone. I had no expectation of it being anything, but then all my friends and I was really only had friends on my, you know, follower list at that point.
So why do you think it resonated with people?
I think it's because I am able to articulate things that other people can't. This is what I hear a lot, that I'm very relatable, that I say things that people are feeling and they just don't really know how to say it. So like when the first video went really viral, I was honestly really startled, because it was subject matter that I felt very strongly about, but I didn't know whether anyone else could even understand or relate to it.
Okay, so you wanted to put it out there just because you felt you wanted to express this, that this was happening to you, and this
yeah,
how you felt.
Yeah. Okay. I had no intention of being like a YouTuber or like a video blogger or anything. I really was just trying to push myself out of my comfort zone. Mm. And I knew that some of my friends thought it was funny and they enjoyed it. So it was really like, I was quite terrified when it started to really go around, because I didn't expect that. Yeah, I was
scared. What do you mean terrified?
Because I just didn't know what to expect. Like the views were really racking up very quickly. Yeah. And when you just sort of been low profile for a while, I just didn't know what it meant. Like there isn't a guide for what to do when you go viral.
Deal with sudden popularity.
Yes,
how did you deal with it?
It was just, I can't remember now. It was in 2015, and it was just weird. People were coming up to me and recognizing me, and I just thought it was amusing.
Think it was temporary? Did you think it was just this kind of blip on the radar?
That's the thing. Okay. I didn't know what it was gonna mean, and there was that adjustment, because when it first happened, I was like, yeah, am I famous now? Like, what does this
what
mean,
is this?
Right? And then you do the next video, and then you're like, okay, it still got quite a lot of views, but it didn't go as far as the first one did.
Okay.
And then you learn that, you know, the internet, everyone has their Andy Warhol 15 minutes. 15 minutes, was it?
Yeah, 15, 15,
yeah,
15 five,
minutes
yeah.
of fame, you know. And so basically people just consuming media so quickly now, and that, like, you kind of just have to get over yourself and just be like, okay, you're not, you know, great, you had a connection with audience for a while, but that's it. Like, you can't expect that that's going to be enough to take you anywhere else.
You can't expect the loyalty, right? You have to kind of earn that the following. So what you kind of, the way you leveraged it was essentially, now you're a DJ with Progressive Radio, which is an internet radio it's based in Brunei.
Yes.
You host a show called Tea Time. And what I think is really interesting, Tewin, about that is that you're trying to talk about entertainment news in a smart and interesting way, and trying to change the narrative of the way we consume celebrity news. Tell me a little bit about Tea Time.
Okay, so when I put the show together, like I knew that I wanted to find a way to encourage critical thinking in people, because I think education-wise, it's something that wasn't really like encouraged. You know, in classrooms, you're sort of just told to listen to whatever the teacher says, and you don't really get to ask a lot of questions. You know, and I was very fortunate that I studied overseas a lot, and I was given that space to just really explore and ask questions. And so entertainment news is generally quite vapid, but it shapes so much of how we feel about ourselves, even, you know, and how we feel about other people. It's just, it's mad. Like, I remember 20 years ago, when you go into the news cycle, it's really just news, like politics, things that happen in
like hard
in
news, right?
Really now, like affairs. You know, celebrity gossip makes it into actual news cycles.
Yes. So somebody's tweet or Instagram post is actually a news headline.
Yes. So you cannot ignore it. You just can't. And so, I wanted to make sure that people can have the tools to make sure that they don't just consume it mindlessly, because when you do it, it shapes the sure. way that you think about things.
And I thought that was really interesting too, mm. because, you know, we can't escape it. And that's just this way, because I used to think that, oh, if you consume celebrity news, there is that's a superficial part of you that's, you know, that's just kind of entertainment and you're kind of dumbing it down. But then there is, exactly as you said, there's no escaping this. This is part of our daily news yeah. media consumption. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what is it all kind of telling us, right? So the way we consume entertainment news, sometimes I think, you know, we're buying into the narratives that are out there, the very superficial, very appearance-centric, and sometimes, you know, not the best feminist ideals when it comes to the lens that we're viewing entertainment news from.
Yeah.
How have you had to address these issues when, you know, when talking in your segment? Some entertainment news, you know, when you talk about the Kardashians, do you try and change the narrative that the Kardashians, this is something that's a guilty pleasure that only superficial people follow, or is this a business opportunity, commercially savvy women? How do you see it?
I definitely don't shame anybody for being interested in whatever. If they're into watching the Kardashians, like, I wouldn't make anyone feel bad about that, because I get it, like, people, I know really intellectual people that just want to watch mindless things, you know. So, but it's more about just remaining thoughtful. Like, yes, you can enjoy it, but just remembering to be, or being mindful of, like, okay, when all this messaging that comes in, right, that tells you, like, okay, you need to be thin, or you need to, like, you know, dress a certain way,
sure.
or you need to present yourself a certain way. All of that, like, it's just being conscious to not start to assume that should be how things are.
Okay, all right, yeah. That's very interesting. Let's come back and talk a little bit about the messaging that's coming up from the media and the narratives and what we can do to change the narrative, especially when it comes to women, right here on The Future's Female. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm speaking to Tiwin Aji today. We are at the Georgetown Literary Festival, and Tiwin is my guest. She is from Brunei. She's a Bruneian media personality. She's a DJ at Progressive Radio, which is an internet radio station based in Brunei, and she hosts a segment called Tea Time, which essentially looks at, you know, a way to deconstruct and challenge the media bias when it comes to celebrity culture, as well as the social media clout. Just before the break, Tiwin, we were talking about the messaging coming out from the coverage of celebrity news. You mentioned, you know, this kind of pressure to be thin, to look a certain way, to behave a certain way. How are you addressing that? I mean, it's one thing to cover these types of news about, you know, body positivity, but how do you ensure that this is a consistent thread with your show? Because it's not a conversation that a lot of people are even aware they should be having, because we've been so conditioned
yeah.
to just accept that, you know, women should look a certain way, celebrities should look a certain way.
Yeah. I think that's just not even through what I do on the show. That's just me as a person.
Okay.
And I think if you know me, like, that's just what I'm about. You follow me on social media or whatnot. So I keep it consistent in that aspect. Mm. Sorry, I'm a bit, can you repeat the question
sure.
again?
Sure. No, I mean, so just coming off of what you're saying is that this is just you being true to yourself. I guess I'm wondering how you're having this. It's a difficult conversation.
Oh, it's a repeated one you have to have. Like, it's
with
not
people
a,
who are not aware that this is a conversation that, yeah. that should even happen in the first place, right?
Well, it's not a one-time thing.
Sure.
Like, so yeah, definitely being consistent with it. And again, there every day I feel there's always another story, you know, that's talking about it. Sometimes I feel like, am I talking about this too much? You know, but it's, yeah, a lot of the time I feel like I'm talking about the same things, because
what kind of things do you feel like it has been the most challenging in trying to change the narrative?
I think just in general, like, expectations on what women are supposed to be like, okay. or how they're meant to like okay. behave mm. In society. I think on the western side of the world, that's really been changing a lot, you know. So it is about trying to, again, not trying to bring Western ideas right. over to Brunei, but it's just about like what is allowing people to be authentically themselves, right?
Is this a conversation that's happening within Bruneian media? I mean, for many of us, we're not familiar with the Bruneian media landscape.
I don't think so. It's not really an issue that is at the forefront.
Okay.
I think fat phobia, for example, is still very much, it's not an issue in Brunei. Like, it's almost accepted. Like,
okay.
of course you should be fat phobic, you know, things like that. Beauty standards, like, yeah, I mean, I'm constantly surrounded by women that just always feel like they're not enough just because of the way that they look. And mm. there's so many brilliant women, you know, like, they're amazing women, and yet I see them and they're like, you know, just eating an avocado for lunch, and it's not because, oh, the avocado is delicious and I want to have this for lunch, it's because I'm not allowed to eat anything
else. I have
else.
To starve myself to yeah. look a certain way. Mm-hmm. So, do you feel it's easier to do this through media, traditional media, even, you know, radio, for instance, internet radio, mm. or do you think that social media is the way to go? Because essentially that's what young people are consuming more of nowadays.
It's actually quite interesting that we've ended up talking about this, because I don't actually go around advocating or talking about this stuff. I just exist as I am.
Okay.
And I think that in itself is already just making a point, making a statement that mm. like, yes, I exist like this. I'm happy the way that I am. And yes, you'll get people who'll be like, no way, you know, and they'll sort of push back from that. But just me being comfortable and living my best life and just, you know, I think that is enough of a statement without me feeling like I need to shove it down people's throats. Because right. I don't think Brunei is that ready, to be honest. Like, okay. I think that they still have very sort of, yeah, very, not strict ideas, but very specific ideas about what women, I mean, and I think there's that perception as well of Bruneian women. Like, when I came here, a lot of people were surprised that I'm Bruneian, and they expect a certain type. And,
right.
and don't get me wrong, there are a lot of Bruneian women, mostly they are like that, but also I wanted to show like there are other types mm. of Bruneian mm. women.
Well, and what are the conversations you're having with men to change this perception, this narrative of what is expected of a Bruneian woman, a woman in general? How are you bringing men into the conversation?
I would say I'm not having the conversation. I'm honestly, again, just doing me.
You. So, like, so it's not a conscious thing, is it?
Yeah, so it's more like in their interaction with me, like, I suppose they'll just know that. And definitely there's some discomfort in that initially, because I'm a very direct person. For example, I'm very outspoken.
Okay.
And being that kind of personality, I think, is still not... people are not that confrontational, and I'm very comfortable with confrontation. But it's not in a way that's aggressive. Right. I just like to be clear. And I think a lot of people like to avoid that, and they're comfortable avoiding that. And so I kind of really just put myself out there, and from there they know. You know, like, oh, okay. So there are women that are like, they don't like it very much, but, well.
And you spent a lot of time in the UK. That's where you got your education, grew up there a little bit. You came back to Brunei. And I'm just wondering, in these kind of conversations that you're having, Tuin, have you seen social norms change in Brunei, in the types of conversations and types of perceptions and views there?
I think, like, on Twitter, there's the youth are very active on that. And so whenever I go on Twitter and I see the Bruneian youth, like, I'm very encouraged mm. just to see how, like, yeah, they're the way of thinking is certainly they're becoming more open-minded, or they are open-minded, and it's really about like finding that balance, because I know that when, you know, people look at me and they always assume that I'm just a very westernized person, and
right.
those are my values and whatnot, and that's not true. I think my values are just that I think people should be allowed to be who, like, authentically who they are. I think that we should be respectful of people, even if they're different from us. And that should be universal. I don't think that's a Western, or it should be or an Eastern construct, right? So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you seeing it change, though? I mean, like, from when you first came back to today?
Oh, definitely. I think when I first came back to Brunei, I was I felt like very alone in being this type of person.
Okay.
But now there's just a lot more youth, especially, and even in people in my circle as well. Like I have found a lot of like-minded people, and so yeah, there's definitely more of us out there. Yeah.
Wonderful. So. All right, we're gonna come back and talk a little bit about what it's gonna take to make a real mindset shift when it comes to the way we perceive our expectations about women. So that's coming up on The Future is Female. Make sure you stay tuned. With us on The Future is Female, and speaking to Tiwin Aji, who's a Bruneian media personality. Tiwin, I want to talk a little bit about some of the, I guess, areas of women's issues that perhaps are a bit uncomfortable to talk about. Are there any issues in your work experience, in just, you know, your existence, as you said? Are you seeing things that are not being highlighted enough?
So, I mean, obviously there are women's issues in Brunei, but honestly, I've got to just admit my privilege here and say that there are other women who are much better able to speak on subjects like that.
Sure.
So I'm just going to speak mainly from my perspective of it. But I think the angry woman thing is something I feel quite
passionately about. What is the angry woman
thing? It's just about letting women own their anger. And just taking up space with that anger. I think that women are, just expected to. There's this idea that, like, Melayu women, especially, we're all supposed to be like ayu and gentle,
yes, yeah,
and all this stuff. But honestly, like, so many of the Malay women I know are fierce. Mm. They're so fierce. And it's not, I don't know where that comes, that idea that with this, you know, gentle thing. But I mean, yes, that's one side of it. We can be that.
Sure.
But, like, we are also just fiery too, you know, and this, yeah, so I think that's been something I feel very strongly, because I wouldn't say I have anger issues, but I'm a very passionate person.
But, you know, this is something that you said a little bit earlier, that you're not afraid of confrontation, and
yeah.
I think that, you know, there's the perception that women should shy away from confrontation, we
yeah.
should avoid it,
yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Nobody wants to see a hysterical woman, especially yeah. if she's angry, she's hysterical, right?
Yeah, it's always that, right? Just hysterical. We can't just be angry.
Upset.
Like, I have a right to be upset about certain things. Like, oh, you're this angry feminist. I'm like, do you know what's happening?
Okay.
I have a right to be angry, you know?
How do we have that conversation? And I have to say, I struggle with that too. I'm also a very passionate woman. I feel very strongly about certain issues and certain ways of thinking that I think should change in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we have that conversation with people who, I guess, perhaps are not ready to let women be angry? What would you do, Tiwin?
I mean, I can't even be, if I'm around someone who doesn't give me that space, like, I either just, it's gonna happen anyway,
right.
And then we deal with the aftermath. Anger is not always just like I'm lashing out at people. It's not even that, but I don't know. I mean, it makes people so uncomfortable. They just want to, you know, make sure that they'll calm down, and there's always this, it just makes them, uncomfortable.
Do you think that, in a certain way, in some respects, that you're right, angry
like
women.
Like Serena Williams, when she was
angry
at the
yes,
US Open.
Yes, that's right.
And how the way that people just piled on, like, they don't give us that space to be angry. We've always got to be like on our best behavior and, you know, just sort of shrinking ourselves.
Do you think you can change people's minds? I mean, let's just say someone who is not open to this angry woman, who thinks that women, you know, shouldn't be confrontational. Is there any changing their minds?
Absolutely. I mean, because I think I came from, like, I grew up thinking that, you know, feminism was just like, you know, bra burning, and they were just angry women.
Okay, okay.
And there was that, you know, depiction.
Sure,
of it,
there was
right?
that perception that
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
feminism
and I
is.
Sort of, I definitely went through an earlier phase of rejecting it, but it is about the educating yourself, but also just opening your eyes more. I think a lot of, in Brunei, like, especially in my circle, there are a lot of privileged women, and because we have access, we tend to think that, like, you know, women's issues aren't really a thing, and that there is equality, and you know. And so I think it's about just really opening your eyes and seeing that, hey, like maybe there are these, you know, issues. Maybe there is discrimination against women. Maybe that, yeah, that it does exist outside your own existence, for one thing.
Right. So check your privilege. To see whether, I mean, you, if it doesn't affect you, doesn't mean that it's not there.
Yeah, right? Okay. I think a lot of people center themselves in these discussions. They think like, well, it's never happened to me.
Sure.
And so, you know, and so it does, therefore it does not exist. But yeah, it's about opening your eyes and paying attention to other women's experiences. And I've honestly seen it happen where people initially, women were just like, no, I don't think that's a thing. But then when they start listening more, and again, when your eyes open, you're like, oh, that's why that's happening to me. You know, I think we never think that it's sexism, for example, when we don't get certain positions or when we don't. But and it's not about trying to be like pulling out the sexism card.
Yeah, you don't want to use that, right?
No, but a lot of it.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of women also like this. They have this idea where, okay, you know, I'm pulling up my bootstraps and I'm just going to make it on my own, and I don't need any like assistance because I'm a woman or you know, things like that, right? So there's I've got a flurry of ideas talking and I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I do want to kind of check with you in the last few minutes that we have left what you're doing going forward, because you've just told me that you're going to be doing a podcast.
I'm going to be doing a new podcast, but this one is
in the works still.
Yeah, similar concept, like it's similar to the stuff that I talk about, and but more to do with like relationships and how to communicate better. I'm such an advocate for how communication can really heal, heal.
What do you want to achieve with these, the content that you're putting out there? I mean, you know, with this show, with The Future is Female, I'm hoping that people will question things that they've accepted for years. So maybe by watching an empowered woman, they can think, well, I can do that too, you know, through representation. Yeah. So what is it that you're hoping to achieve with the content that you're putting out?
Yeah, ultimately, I think I would just love for people, not just women even, but like everyone, to be able to feel comfortable in their own skin, to be able to know how to protect themselves from negative messaging.
Protect themselves from negative messaging
in the media. Yeah.
Okay. How do they do that?
By questioning everything. If someone, like, if you're reading something and it's starting to make you feel bad about yourself, like, why do I feel bad about myself right now? Like, what was in there that made me feel like I'm a lesser person? And how do I flip that? You know. So it's actually being really vigilant about and protecting your space and your mental health and, you know, how you feel about
that,
yourself.
Do you do that too?
Yeah.
So when you see something that makes you feel vulnerable, you're like, why do I feel this way?
Yeah, just sit down with yourself and like evaluate what those feelings are, where they're coming from, are they valid? And most of the time, they're not.
They're society's construct of how we should feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me, Tumin. It's been such a pleasure. All the best with your
thank
new
you
ventures.
So much.
And
thank
you for trying to, I guess, amplify the voice for women empowerment, and I appreciate that. Thank you for being on the show. It's such a pleasure. I'm Melissa Idris, and you've been watching The Future is Female. We'll be back at the same time next week, and I'll be speaking to empowered women everywhere, so make sure you catch us then. See you.